In a world where ancient magic pulses beneath subjugated lands, two women from opposing worlds find their destinies intertwined. Princess Malini, once poised to rule an empire, now languishes in a forgotten temple prison after refusing to burn herself alive for her brother's religious purity crusade. Priya, a humble maidservant with a hidden past, carries forbidden magic in her veins, the last remnant of a temple massacre that should have claimed her life. When assassination attempts and rebel uprisings threaten to engulf them both, these women forge a dangerous alliance that will challenge empires. What makes their connection so compelling is how it defies expectation. Their attraction builds not from idealized romance, but through shared trauma and pragmatic need. Malini sees in Priya a weapon she might wield. Priya sees in Malini a path to influence. Yet beneath these calculations, something genuine blossoms. Their relationship embodies the novel's central question: when survival demands compromise, what parts of yourself are you willing to sacrifice? The Hirana Temple looms over Ahiranya like an open wound, massive yaksa-carved pillars surrounding a central plinth beneath a circular opening to the sky. Once home to powerful priests, it now serves as Princess Malini's prison, its walls still scorched from when imperial soldiers burned 25 temple children alive. Drugged with needle flower, Malini observes her surroundings with painfully sharp senses from a chamber where priests had died. Despite her confinement, she nurtures rage against her brother, Emperor Chandra, waiting for escape. For Priya, a temple maidservant, the Hirana stirs painful suppressed memories. When she accidentally encounters the imprisoned princess, bloodshot eyes, wild dark hair, wine-stained sari, Priya flees in shock. This chance meeting begins their entanglement as Priya's dormant powers awaken. The setting functions as both physical prison and psychological catalyst, representing the Emperor's cruelty for Malini and childhood trauma for Priya. The Hirana becomes a character itself, alive with memory, magic, and possibility. When a masked assassin attacks the princess, Priya's dormant powers surge to life. She connects with the temple, regaining memories as the stone responds to her commands. "You don't know what strength means," she tells her attacker. "I know what it means to carry the waters." This incident reunites Priya with Ashok, her brother she thought dead. Now a rebel leader, he reveals they were temple children trained to control the mysterious rot spreading through Ahiranya. Ashok believes their powers are awakening because the rot might be Ahiranya rising against imperial rule. As Malini's attendant, Priya notices her fragile state, her bird-like shoulders, neck scar, and the needle flower drug in her wine. She realizes the princess is being slowly poisoned. Their relationship deepens when Malini defends Priya from Lady Pramila. Though still struck, Priya feels drawn to Malini when she later touches her bruised cheek with trembling hands. As Malini weakens, Priya stays close, sharing stories. When Malini reveals she was condemned for refusing self-immolation, Priya convinces Pramila to let her administer the medicine. When bringing the needleflower wine, their eyes meet in silent understanding. While Priya and Malini form their dangerous bond, political tensions escalate throughout Ahiranya. Regent Vikram, a Parijati married to a Hirani woman Bhumika, struggles to maintain control amid growing rebel activity. When Lord Santosh, Emperor Chandra's representative, mocks Vikram's wife and warns of imperial takeover, the conflict between imperial rule and local governance becomes stark. Bhumika, pregnant and secretive, is actually a temple child like Priya, with power to control thorns and vines, the very magic her husband once sought to destroy. She meets Ashok in the spiritual realm called Sangam, warning against escalating violence. The conflict intensifies when Ashok's rebels attack Lord Iskar's Haveli, systematically killing Parijati elites using supernatural abilities, a rebellion now wielding magic against imperial forces. Prince Rao arrives seeking to free Princess Malini, hoping to restore her elder brother Aditya to the throne instead of cruel Emperor Chandra. In this volatile landscape, each character must decide whether their primary loyalty lies with family, nation, religion, or ambition, choices that rarely align neatly. Priya discovers Gotham has been selling deathless water from the Harana to Ashok's rebels. These waters grant extraordinary abilities, though many who drink them die painfully, bleeding from their eyes. Elder Chandni reveals the source of these powers through a horrifying mangrove-like tree containing the faces of dead elders. Most elders perished after fleeing, their souls absorbed by the tree. Only she and another survive, their skin showing bark-like fissures. Chandni admits the elders were wrong. The murdered children could control the rot, not spread it. She suggests Priya was temple-born rather than merely temple-raised. Priya finally confronts her suppressed memories of the massacre, temple children drugged during a feast as imperial soldiers attacked, with Elder Saroj setting fire to the room as Priya and Ashok escaped. This magical system resonates because it's tied to identity and trauma. The deathless waters aren't convenient superpowers, but dangerous birthrights requiring sacrifice, reflecting how resistance against oppression demands painful transformation. During a rebel attack, Malini attempts escape, revealing she manipulated Priya to gain her magical assistance. Enraged, Priya threatens her instead of helping. Malini confesses she'd been drinking excessively, hoping either for access to a physician or death. Malini proposes a deal, explaining she was imprisoned for trying to replace Chandra with their elder brother Aditya. She promises Iharanya greater autonomy under Aditya if Priya delivers a message to her ally in Hiranyaprastha. Though skeptical, Priya agrees, but demands they be equals. During their escape, they encounter Ashok's rebels. Malini suddenly presses a ceremonial knife against Priya's ribs, instantly reversing their power dynamic. When Priya whispers, "Trust me," the words carry multiple meanings. Bhumika's arrival with guards forces Ashok to retreat. Isn't this the most human of stories? We build walls for protection, only to find strength in vulnerability. We make bargains, thinking we understand the terms, only to be transformed by unexpected connection. After the battle, Bhumika leads a Hiranya with her newborn daughter, symbolizing hope. Having overcome her husband's betrayal through political skill and magic, she embodies the nation's resilience. Malini takes a darker path after burning a monastery to defeat her brother. When Rao kneels before her, fulfilling an ancient prophecy, she defies tradition that royal women are only crowned in death and declares she will rule in the name of the mothers, having sacrificed her goodness to become empress. Priya, after healing a child's rot infection, meets Bhumika at the Harana. Though loyal to Bhumika now, she might seek Malini someday. Looking at the temple, she recognizes her purpose, to destroy the rot and become the cure their land needs. In the epilogue, Emperor Chandra kneels amid his mother's rotting garden as one ember grows into a molten gold flower of fire, signaling the conflict continues. The conclusion's power lies in its refusal of simple resolution. Each character has transformed, yet their journeys continue, their choices reshaping their world.